This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Get out of here. You've got to be kidding me.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Bill Belichick, he will not be a first ballot Pro Football Hall of Fame head coach.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, 49ers fullback Kyle Juszczyk. Ravens head coach Jesse Minter. Coming up, actor Ted McGinley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Ted McGinley's in our green room. He's coming out in about 20 minutes' time.
Yeah.
One of our favorites from an outstanding show, Shrinking, on Apple TV. Season 3 has arrived, and it's just a delight. It's all kinds of awesome, and he's great in it. And the cast is amazing. Jason Segel and Harrison Ford, just to name two. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. We'll take your phone calls if we have time. Great chats already in this program. Kyle Juszczyk was great in hour one, right? I mean, it was great catching up with the San Francisco 49er. Sounds like he's rooting hard for the Patriots. Does not like Seattle. Said they could celebrate wherever they want. Do you think that he really meant when he said that?
No,
definitely. Okay.
Definitely not.
And doesn't like Seattle at all.
I got that.
Yeah,
picked up on that,
yeah,
huh?
I get that. Yeah.
That they do a lot of yapping. He said we do too, meaning his teammates. And then Jesse Minter, the new head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, kind enough to join us. As I mentioned, Ted McGinley's about to hit our stage here in Southern California. You know, I'm not an X's and O's guy. That's why I have the experts of the all 22 film watching people. You know, it all comes down to matchups. Fair. I get it. And I can see it sometimes. And I can break down a cover two if you really force me to do it.
I can see it.
You know, but when it comes to my area of expertise.
You're a storyteller.
I'm a storyteller.
Narrative.
I'm a tapestry weaver. I connect dots.
That's what you
do. I place things in perspective. I am all about the narratives and storylines. And so every year I do this. We're going to normally do it on a Wednesday because it's a power ranking.
Love it.
But yesterday we were too busy talking about, as I mentioned, Bill Belichick getting hosed. And so I'm doing it today. I do this every year, the week before we go to the Super Bowl. And I give you my power rankings of the top Super Bowl storylines you're going to get sick and tired of hearing about before toe meets ball. So top 10, if you will, power ranked Super Bowl 60 storylines you're going to get sick and tired of hearing about the most. Hit it.
This is my
power rankings. All right, everybody, here we go. Top 10 Super Bowl 60 storylines you're going to get sick and tired about hearing the most between now and when toe meets balls. You know, we in the media, we got a lot to talk about. We're just twiddling thumbs waiting for the game. Chris, you're already sick and tired of hearing it because you've heard about it for months. Number 10 on the power rankings list is
you don't even have to say
crazy Super Bowl 60 storylines you're going to get sick and tired about hearing the most is just how good are the Patriots? Yep. Are they one of the worst Super Bowl teams?
I believe that I saw that as a headline.
Because their regular season was not that challenging.
They won 14 games.
I get it. I'm just saying what the storyline is. Okay, score 54 points and still make the Super Bowl. It is the fewest points scored prior to a Super Bowl of any team that's played 3 playoff games to reach the Super Bowl, wild card, divisional, and championship games. 54 points, beating the 61 points the 2000 Ravens scored, the 68 points the 2007 Giants scored, the 70 points the 2023 Kansas City Chiefs scored. The thing that all three of those other teams have in common.
Well, you say it.
They won the Super Bowl.
Oh.
they won the Super Bowl. And so that 2007 Giants team that everyone's like, really? How are they going to beat the Patriots?
I'm still wondering that. Actually.
Nobody was talking about between then and this day. Oh, those Giants weren't any good. Okay. So that's number 10. You're going to hear that a lot.
Surprised that wasn't one.
No. You'll know what one is. Number nine is the Legion of Boom 2.0 as good as the original? Because this defense, man, has not allowed a touchdown in back-to-back games in 2025. There's been two instances of that. The Seahawks in Week 18 and the divisional round. And then the Seahawks in Weeks 13 and 14 of this season. That's it. No touchdowns allowed. They're the first team league-wide to have multiple streaks in a season of allowing zero touchdowns since the last team who did it. You want to guess the last team that did it? The 2014 Seahawks, the Legion of Boom. Oh, are you picking up what I'm putting down right now? Are you picking up? The Seahawks allowed the fewest points in the NFL in 2025, just 17.2 points per game. It's the fifth season in team history finishing with the number one scoring defense. The other four times, 2012 through 2015, the Legion of Boom. So that's number nine. Number eight. On my power rankings of the Super Bowl 60 storylines, you're going to get sick and tired of hearing out the most. Stephon Diggs is in the Super Bowl. And he's the king of primetime games in the regular season. Nothing but 100-yard games in primetime games for this guy. However, it's his sixth straight playoff game now with less than 100 receiving yards. That's the longest drought in his career. But in terms of Stephon Diggs finally being in the Super Bowl, how about this? It's his first career Super Bowl in his 11th season in the NFL. He's got 982 career playoff receiving yards. That's the most ever by a player prior to playing in their first career Super Bowl. His 80 career playoff receptions are 25 more than any other player in NFL history prior to playing in their first career Super Bowl. The previous record was 55 by Marvin Harrison Sr. He damn near doubled it to finally get here. And he's finally made it, and he's the first Patriots player with 1,000 receiving yards since
Edelman
in 2019. What did they do in 2019?
They lost to the Titans.
They did.
Wild card.
I know. It's been a while.
The year before he was Super Bowl.
They're back. Yeah. And you know who's back? Number seven on my list, everybody. Cooper Kupp's back in the Super Bowl. Yeah. That's another storyline that you're going to hear quite a bit about between now and kicking things off. He's the sixth former Super Bowl MVP to play in a later Super Bowl with a different team. The others are named Von Miller, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner, and Jerry Rice. Von, Brady, Manning all won the Super Bowl after winning Super Bowl MVP with a different team. He can become the fourth player in NFL history to win multiple Super Bowls and lead the NFL in receiving yards in a season in his career. The only other ones who did that, Jerry Rice, Michael Irvin, and Cliff Branch. We also know, you'll hear this as part and parcel of Cooper Kupp, he grew up in Yakima, Washington. He's a Washington guy, went to Eastern Washington, where he had 6,464 receiving yards. You're going to hear about it. Hometown guy, back in the Super Bowl. Super Bowl MVP Cooper Kupp is back. Number six on the list. This is the exact opposite of number 10, which was just how good are the Patriots? This one I think folks are going to get really sick and tired of hearing about. Is this the start of a new New England dynasty? Because
I'm not sick of that.
The
one.
Connective tissue
talk about that
between this and 2001 is beyond eerie. This photograph of Tom Brady putting his hands on his head. He was a second-year player. Nobody expected it from a pick 199. His head coach, Bill Belichick. It's remarkable Tom Brady, without having a Hall of Fame head coach that year. and Bill Belichick getting his second bite at head coaching in the NFL. How is he going to do it different? By taking Tom Brady to the winner's podium. Mike Vrabel's second shot at coaching. He's got a second-year kid in Drake May that everybody thinks they're going to get blown out by an NFC West juggernaut team. It's the same thing. and they appear to be set up. Get ready for that being a conversation before they even win the Super Bowl. Is this a dynasty? Hey, we want everything right in front of us, right? Right. Number five, here's our top five. Reach the top five My Power Rankings of the Super Bowl 60 storylines you're going to be sick and tired of on the most. Different journeys of two number three overall picks to the same crossroads. Because, yep, Darnold and May were third overall picks in the NFL drafts of 2018 and 2024. They're the first Super Bowl matchup in NFL history between top five drafted quarterbacks who are not yet 30 years old. We've never seen this one before. Drake May gets drafted in New England, wins only four games year one. Year two, boom. It's obvious he's the man. There's no bust here in New England. As a matter of fact, he's going to bust every norm and become the youngest kid to ever win the Super Bowl at quarterback. And then you got Sam Darnold, who's been through now five teams to get there. First Super Bowl between starting quarterbacks that each have fewer than four career playoff starts since Super Bowl 34 in 99 when Kurt Warner and Steve McNair went at it. It's been a while since we've seen a matchup like this, but two guys drafted in the same position, third overall, two different journeys to the big day. Number four, who is Mike McDonald? Who is he?
Good one.
Who is this head coach of the Seattle Seahawks? We know the other guy. But who is this guy? Who is this 38-year-old guy, once upon a time a high school assistant, who then went to coach at Georgia, where he went to school, and then became a Ravens coaching intern in 2014? You know what happened in 2014? The Seahawks and the Patriots played each other in the Super Bowl. He was born in Boston. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, how about that?
Nice.
He's got a wife. He's got a one-year-old son.
That he only sees for 30 minutes a week.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Because he wishes he gets to see him more, but he's too busy taking the Seahawks to the Super Bowl. You know? Who is Mike McDonald?
Good one.
Is number four on this list. Number three, the Super Bowl 60 storylines you're going to get sick and tired of hearing about. It's just quite simply Drake Mayapalooza.
What?
That's it. He's going to be the youngest quarterback to win a Super Bowl, maybe. Is his shoulder hurt? He was at Super Bowl 50 as a Panthers fan,
right,
in this stadium. Now, 10 years later, he's quarterbacking as a 23-year-old for the New England Patriots in this stadium after beating the team that he watched beat his favorite team back in the day.
It's kind of crazy.
In Denver. Okay, what else do we need to know? Oh, he's got, he's the youngest of four boys. His brothers Luke and Bo won the national championship in basketball for North Carolina in 2017, and his brother Cole was a pitcher for the national champion Florida Gators. So all the brothers have won titles, and it's Drake May now in the Super Bowl. His wife,
Bake May.
His wife Anne Bake May, because she bakes goods on TikTok, and they love her in New England. And look at these two. Look at these two. They began dating in 2015. Us Magazine is writing articles about them.
Oh, wow. Really?
Right now. Yes, comparing their videos to, are they the next Kelce and Taylor Swift?
Oh, look at that.
These are the headlines. Her brother, Tad, backed up May in North Carolina at quarterback. Did you know that?
Come on.
It's a Drake Mayapalooza. But that's not even close, because number two on this list, Mike Vrabel, Super Bowl player and coach.
Did you know he played in Super Bowl?
Did you know he played? Not only, he's played in four of them.
No way.
Yeah, he won three rings.
Did not know.
Yeah, the Patriots can win their seventh Super Bowl, most ever, and Vrabel could be the one with three of them as a player and one of them as a head coach. He caught some in the Super Bowl.
Caught some, too? No way.
Yep.
Oh, it's crazy.
Get ready. And he's just going to be as accommodating as they possibly can be. You know, he's got a little bit of the Belichick gruffness in him, but he's also got a little bit of a nice sweetheart, like big lug type of guy, right?
He's pinky waving.
He He's a pinky waver. I know that firsthand at the American Century Championship.
I got to start doing that.
So there's that. Number one, though, the number one storyline prior to Super Bowl 60 that you're going to get sick and tired about hearing the most is the Sam Darnold redemption story. And it's going to be at some point in time, you're like, I get it. But it's an incredible story, and it's going to be told 50 different ways. Sam Darnold with the Jets. He's the first former Jet quarterback to start in a Super Bowl. He's also the first one of that 2018 class with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield. He beats everyone to the Super Bowl. He was a Carolina Panther once upon a time. Then he was, by the way, a San Francisco 49er. Where are they playing?
Oh.
They're playing where the Niners play. Nice. And wait for it. He's the first USC quarterback in the history of the Super Bowl. Do you know where he won the Pac-12 championship with USC?
No, stop.
Levi Stadium beating Stanford. Did you know that was part of this redemption story? We're connecting dots. I told you I'm a dot connector tapestry weaver. And then he goes to Minnesota, where he wins 14 games. But they are even like, we got to see what we got in the young guy. Send him to Seattle, and look what he's done. He's going to the Super Bowl.
His grandfather was the Marlboro Man.
His name was Dick Hammer.
What?
Yes.
True, Jay Felly. Look it up.
Look it up. His grandfather's the Marlboro Man, and his name is, in fact, Dick Hammer. A guy who should go by the name of Richard if there's ever been one, along with longtime pitching coach Dick Pohl.
I know.
Longtime NASCAR Dan Patrick Show favorite Dick Trickle. People who should go by the name of Richard. All part of Sam Darnold's redemption story. That's the number one.
You have one more.
Yes.
I did not know that.
There's even one more.
Oh, I can't believe
because it's part that. And parcel of the chip that's on the Seattle shoulder. Is Jackson Smith and Jigba, and by proxy Seattle, as a whole, overlooked? I'm mixing it all together. It's a melange. I just went through 10.
Yeah.
I mentioned Cup. I mentioned Diggs. I didn't mention the guy with the most receiving yards, and all he needs is 35 in this game, and he's the first kid of his age to have 2,000 yards in a season, including playoffs, in the air. And in his hands. And we're not talking about him enough. You know, as a matter of fact, we don't talk about Seattle enough.
You're right, we don't.
Talking about New England. What have they done with that schedule?
Beat everybody?
Uh-huh. What have they done with all those points that they didn't score in the playoffs?
Made the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, get ready for it. Talking more about New England. East Coast bias. Don't forget about the team that's being respected by the Vegas line. Baby. And those are my top Super Bowl 60 power ranked storylines.
Attaboy, well done.
Rich Eisen is right.
Thank you. Ken Jennings. Ken Jennings approves. Boy, that drop's going
to
be great.
That's got some run to it.
It's better than What's Eisen. What's Eisen?
What's Eisen?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's half a sentence, you know?
What's Eisen?
Up to. You know what I mean?
Doing.
Go hit it again.
What's Eisen?
Doing here.
What's eating, Eisen?
Eating for lunch.
That's right. All of it. We could keep going on and on. But okay. Thank you. These drops. We're going to make a meal out of it. Ted McGinley is bringing him out.
Let's
here,
go.
Everybody. One of our favorites. Shrinking is such an awesome show. And he's awesome in it. That's next. He's next. What's next?
What's Shrinking?
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
He is here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience just returned. We just showed a clip of season 3 of Shrinking, which just premiered on Apple TV last night. It is an outstanding program. It is worth every single second of your time. And Ted McGinley is back here on the Rich Eisen Show in support. You came here when season 2 was out, and season 4 just got greenlit too, right?
Yeah, so I'd like to come back tomorrow.
talk about four. You're here. Welcome anytime. And before we get into everything else, just more on this show. I told this to you back stage, if you will, before you came out here. My wife and I, we watch the show, and we wake up happier the next day. We really do. And there's so many things that you want to watch before you go to sleep. You can binge watch, you can whatever. And sometimes, you know, it's tough to get to sleep after it. Like, yeah. you know, you watch the wrong thing before yeah. going to sleep. But we genuinely wake up happier because of this program. I truly mean it.
You know, that, Ted. One, that's a it feels great to hear that because I'm awesome. So proud of this show. I'm so proud to be a part of this show. Mm-hmm. It's so high level. The writing is brilliant. None of that is happening by accident. Our right. staff is the best I've ever been around, and they are the smartest people in the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it doesn't, they are very well aware that they want you to be touched and to be emotionally moved in every episode.
Yes.
And it happens. And it is, what an amazing thing to be a part of something where someone could say that we go to bed happier.
We
and
do.
And we wake up happier.
We do, Ted. And the thing I think about a lot watching this show, because you're right about all the emotions, all the feels, is, you know, the famous Jim Valvano speech
yes.
at the ESPYs about how you should laugh every day, you should cry every day, you should yeah. touch grass every day.
Yes.
That's a full day, as he would say. Yeah. And it describes almost every episode of your show, for real. You know?
Could not agree more. And that's, I think that's exactly it. But that is the human experience, right? I mean, that's how it's supposed to be.
Right.
And when we're locked into these giant cities or areas where we can't get out and touch the earth and really experience each other because we're walking with our head down.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you just have to stop and breathe and touch the earth and get in it. And because there's no escape from pain, from sorrow, from hurt, from joy, from laughter. You know, all of these things happen. Mm-hmm. And this show is just representative of the human experience.
And, you know, in preparation of your appearance here, Susie and I, we binge watched the end of season two last night because, you know, I'm also a professional, you know.
I've heard that.
I need to be
yeah,
prepared, a lead pipe wielding professional. And, you know, the finale of season two is a Thanksgiving Day episode in which every character involved goes around the room and talks about something for which they're thankful. And Harrison Ford's character gets up.
Yes.
And goes on a soliloquy about, you know, he's a gruff character, a gruff guy with a soft center, but has also been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And the speech that he gives is so emotional. And, you know, this just in, he's so great. I thought to myself while watching all the cutaways of all the characters, I got to ask you, Ted McGinley, what is that like for you? Sitting there and watching yeah. Harrison Ford deliver something like that.
I will tell you two very interesting stories about that day.
Please.
One, that speech is a speech that Michael J. Fox gave on Spin City when he discovered that his medication, he had to save it. He couldn't use it for rehearsals and for the show. He had to save it for his life, for his family. And that was sort of Harrison's speech.
You mean in real life?
Yes.
Michael J. Fox
had to give that speech on Spin City.
Huh. To the cast, to the fellow members?
And he was saying, listen, my life, I owe this to my family. I can feel myself atrophying. I'm going to save you. I'm safe here. So I'm not going to take this medication. I can only take so much because it's the law of diminishing returns.
Jeez.
And so Bill, I think, pulled that from there, and there's a lot of that element in that speech. Two, the day we came in, we were having rehearsal, roughly, and just sort of go over it and say the words. You're not all in yet, and we're trying to market. That's a huge scene. We have so many people. Harrison starts to speak, and every single person, you could hear a pin drop. From the furthest crew member out at craft service. I mean, it was amazing, and it stopped, and he couldn't even finish. He just stopped, and we all stopped. We all walked away, waiting for them to come back and light it. Just, no one said a word. It was one of those moments, and we knew it was gonna be one of those moments. It was, I remember telling Luke and Lukita, the two younger kids, I said, you'll never forget this, because these things just, they're rare.
Yeah.
And when you're in a group scene like this, it was so beautiful. God, man. So he was amazing. If Harrison doesn't win after season three, I don't want to say I'm going to quit, but I'm going to quit. I mean, he's so good.
He's Harrison Ford. Yeah. I know I asked you about this last time you were here. I'm like, you're okay. Like, yeah. You got to catch yourself. I imagine you're going to work. That's
forever. It was so difficult. The kids get up there. They work with him like it's not a problem. For me, I was like, oh my God, it's Indiana Jones.
It's Han Solo.
We've got, because he will put you at ease. He'll come up and tell you a bad joke. He'll hang around you, you know, do something fun. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, it's just another actor.
And now Michael J. Fox is on this season playing somebody who suffers from Parkinson's. And, you know, there was a scene in the premiere on last night, and just gives you an idea of what's to come for this season.
Michael J. Fox is one of my heroes, mm-hmm. honestly. I mean, you're talking about a guy who is living and has been living with Parkinson's for a long time. And when you watch what it takes to go through his life,
yeah,
it's heroic, the things that he's able to pull off and the level that he does. I think he's amazing on this show.
Right.
And when you go and watch Harrison and Michael side by side on set, I can't believe I get to just watch it.
Right.
And it's let alone be a part of it.
And it's kind of crazy, again, for people who might be new to Shrinking. It's a hilarious show. I mean, despite what we just mentioned for the last 5 minutes, it is hilarious, but it really just does. Soup to nuts, run the gamut. Like, I could see you're getting misty just sitting here recounting these stories.
Well, I just...
It's pretty awesome. Yeah, man.
Michael J. Fox talks about funny, and Harrison's in there and talking about Parkinson's, mm-hmm. and Michael J. Fox, you can tell he has it. He says, what are you in for? And he says, oh, the haircut.
You know,
I mean, that's the kind of, so yes, you're there and then you're somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm here for a haircut. Like, okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Again, Shrinking season three just started. Season four has been greenlit. Catch up if you haven't seen it already, seasons one and two. And if you have, you know exactly what we've been talking about. So let's go in a different direction here. You said to me backstage, let's tell this story. You did the Rose Parade this year? You and your wife?
Yes.
Part of the Rose Parade?
Yeah, so Shrinking had a float. And by the way, in 1948, my mom was supposed to be on, she was one of the princesses, but she got in a car accident the night before.
Oh.
And so she never got to do it.
Okay.
My mom died right before the parade.
Of this year you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear
15
that.
Days before.
Okay.
So.
You're doing it.
Got to ride in the parade for my mom.
Yes.
And it poured rain. Mm. And I think those were her tears because she wasn't allowed to be on it.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway, it was phenomenal. It was one of the greatest days of my wife and I both walked off that float 20 feet off the ground.
Right.
Having kind of a difficult year in 2025. We had the fire in the Palisades and parents passing. And so this was, we're trying to figure out how 26 was going to come.
Yes.
We started off on the parade. We walked another 50 feet off the ground.
Right.
It was so exciting. You see these people are in pouring rain with a man-made tent or shelter over them, and they're just looking at you, waving, smiling. They want nothing other than to give you their love and appreciation.
Yes.
And so it was, we just absorbed it like sponges.
And that'd be, you know, thousands of people from Indiana who are there to watch this. And this is what I think I love about this story the most. You talking about connecting on a human level with these folks.
Yeah.
And how it made you and your wife feel. But your wife is an Ohio State Buckeye. So what happened?
My wife is a hardcore Buckeye.
And then what happened?
So Indiana beat their Buckeyes. Yes. And so we're going to watch the game. You know, we want to go home and watch the game. My wife says, I'm not watching. She won't watch. She doesn't want to watch Indiana.
She boycotted.
But she was very supportive of the people while we were there.
Okay, she's supportive of the people,
but not the cause.
But
that's why
I
love my wife, because I love that part of her.
But you're supposed to root for the Big Ten.
By the way, she found out you're a Michigan guy.
I know that.
And she said, you can't go back. Yeah. She wanted to know exactly where the office was.
Well, we had the new Michigan head coach, Kyle Whittingham, on the program, and he goes back in the day, obviously, with Utah, back to when Urban Meyer was the coach there, and he left there, as we know, to go to Ohio State. And so they're really tight. And I told him, now that he's the Michigan head coach, he's no longer allowed to be friends with him.
That's right.
You know, so at least your wife will understand that.
She will love that you said that.
Fantastic. Yes.
Good luck to him, by the way.
You know what? Not Urban.
Kyle.
Oh, I thought but Urban.
I like him a lot.
Heck with him.
No, Urban's all right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's different definitions of all right.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about these things, I don't think, the last time you were here, because you've been at this a while. There's a photograph of you from the Love Boat.
Oh, yeah?
Boxing Dick Butkus?
Oh, yeah. Kicked his ass. Yeah. Yeah.
This is an episode of the Love Boat?
Yes.
Like, what's the plot point here? Where there was a ring?
It's a Love Boat. We don't have a plot point. Are you kidding me? That's so I could have the chocolate buffet as soon as we were done. Lord knows. I remember this day that Dick had really bad knees.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
I mean, notoriously bad. Yeah. And, had to be very careful of what was going on there. But yeah, we had if you go back through, I can find numerous photos like that of me in situations where, like, no clue what that was, but I probably shouldn't have been in there.
We've got another one from the Love Boat.
Okay,
Why don't you put that one up?
Bruce Jenner.
No, this one's a normal. The one that obviously he'd be referring to, that's you with Isaac, right?
Yes.
There. Look at you in that white dinner coat.
So yeah, thank you. I actually still have that outfit.
What?
That costume. They let me keep the costumes, and now it's covered in mold. I don't know what to do with it. So what would you do? I mean, what? So they gave me that. He has this ace, his name tag there. Yeah,
right.
And
do you still have the name tag?
Yeah. And I want to put it on eBay.
We'll take it.
No, we'll take it.
We'll take it here.
We'll take it.
Guys,
we'll take it here.
Meaning he wants to sell it.
I want to sell. I want the cash. What are you talking about? Where the cash at? I told you, times are tough.
My bad.
Yeah.
My bad. Our bad. But yeah. if let's just say you want to just...
Well, that would be an honor. How about we put it on loan?
Keep it here.
We can hang it up.
By the on loan, that's the second person who wants it on loan.
Okay.
Rob Lowe's NFL hat that he got roasted for because he was at an NFC championship game and nobody's logo but the NFL's logo. He said he still has it. We said we wanted it. He said he would give it to us on loan. So we have to have an on loan portion of the Rich Eisen Show set now.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Let me go through my stuff and see what you might be interested.
Okay. All right.
Report back.
In the meantime, let's talk about this photo. What do we have?
Yeah, that's the one I thought you were going to say. Yeah. Tim Rossovich.
And Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grappling.
Yeah. I'm just so thankful I wasn't in the middle of that one.
Right.
which normally happened on that show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Am I noticing you're not even attempting to hold Hulk Hogan back like Gavin McLeod is doing? Like, that's acting right there.
Yeah, that's good acting.
Don't you think?
And by the way, you want to talk a plot point?
Yes,
no clue.
You don't? You don't remember the plot point?
I'm sure. No.
No. Okay. We'll just leave that one alone.
Yeah. And I don't think we were really strong on plot points.
Okay.
Once you got outside of.
Is that? All right.
So according to IMDb.
Yes. You've got this.
Yeah. The three sentence description of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Judy thinks Kitty book writer Nathan is perfect for her picky cousin Gretchen.
Okay.
Pro wrestler Tom forbids his sister Linda to associate with his opponent, lover boy Bob. Gopher is given a post-hypnotic suggestion that he's the captain.
Okay. So the second one is it.
Yes.
But it makes it actually very interesting. If you reread that one more time.
Yes.
Sure, the whole thing, all three?
Just that second one.
The second one, just the second one.
Pro wrestler Tom forbids his sister Linda to associate with his opponent, lover boy Bob.
Interesting.
Who are the other guest stars? Who are the other guest stars on that show? Was that Ann Gillian? Was that who I saw on that screen right there?
Pat Klaus.
Okay.
Who?
All right.
Yeah, was the cruise director.
Okay, very
after
good.
After Lauren Tooze left.
That's right. Okay, there you go.
And of course, Jill,
mm-hmm.
And Gavin.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's funny when it's interesting. Like when I think about how many people I've actually worked with at some point along the way.
Yes, sir.
And I've gotten to the point where I'm not sure I worked with them. I don't really.
Yeah, you must put Kevin Bacon to shame.
No,
by the way.
Kevin's...
This whole Kevin Bacon, 5 degrees of Kevin Bacon. But you got to have him like the old name that tune. You could name a tune in a shorter amount of notes. I bet you we could connect someone to you, two people together through Ted McGinley a lot sooner than four.
Well, probably not outside of prison. I don't know about that.
That sounds like a shrinking line right there. That literally sounds like something your character would say.
Maybe.
That's a Derek line if I've ever heard one. Right? Okay. Awesome. And yeah, you did Fantasy Island back in the day too.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yes. So I gave Loretta Lynn.
Okay.
The first kiss that wasn't her husband was from me.
Whoa.
And, yeah, that was,
how'd that go over?
Well, and I was hitting on her niece, who was Heather Locklear, who I later married on Dynasty.
And you're saying there's no connective tissue? Yeah, yeah. Come on now.
Yeah. There's more than I think there is in the world, but it just doesn't feel like it. Yeah.
That may be the greatest line ever said in the history of this program. So you're hitting on her niece,
yeah,
who's Heather Locklear, who, well, you later met.
Most people would.
No, by the way.
And then when I'm making out with Loretta Lynn.
Yeah, for the first time in her life outside of her marriage. Yeah,
I remember she was a little tentative about that. Wasn't quite sure. You know, say, I'm not doing tongue. Let's get with the times. It's the Love Boat. You know.
Or that's Fantasy Island is what you said.
Oh, Fantasy Island. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, my gosh.
But years later.
Yes, sir.
I met my wife doing a play at the Burt Reynolds Theater in Jupiter, Florida.
Okay.
And Burt had asked my wife and I to come to dinner to his house one night for dinner. And we showed up and he said, we're just going to have a couple people over. It's like eight people. This guy called me and said, we'll have like eight people over. And we went over there. Ricardo Montalban was there with his wife. The greatest single guy, and along with Lloyd Bridges, my two favorite actors I've ever met on stage. They were so generous and kind and loving and guys you wanted to hang around. They were just so sweet. Anyway, the other people at the dinner, Ann Margaret and her husband.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson and his wife.
Jeez.
And Dom DeLuise and my wife and I. And we're like, what are we doing here? we were not expecting it. I showed up like this and everyone's very dapper.
Man. Ricardo Montalban, every time I see those beer commercials, the most interesting man in the world, I would think he would be that in real life. The rich Corinthian leather, that sort of stuff.
I think that was one of my first, in fact, I think it was probably my first guest spot on a show. And I was, you know, nervous, and
sure.
Ricardo came up to me and he could not have been more kind and generous. And I never forgot it. And I told him about it that night. And he was just, I thought, God, you're a great man.
Dude, to be at a dinner party with Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds, that is amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So I go to do the play.
Yes.
And Bert, because I'd done a movie with Bert, and so he asked me to come down and do the play.
Mm-hmm.
So when we show up at West Palm Beach Airport, this white Cadillac pulls up with black windows. Window comes down about 4 inches and goes, get in, kid. It's Bert. I got picked up at the airport by Bert Reynolds. It was insane. Yeah, and then we went back to his theater and watched the show that my wife was starring in.
And that's now
jeez,
yeah,
the history.
100 years ago.
Dude, stop.
Yeah.
You're the best, Ted McGinley. Thank you for coming on here. And anytime, this show is awesome.
You're the best. Anyone who has best dad ever.
Mm.
Was that given to you by your kids?
It was indeed. And just a proof that they gave it to me directly. They kept the price tag on it.
Yeah. That is my proudest moment ever in my life. And so the fact that you have it in front of you
every day
means I said, that's a guy I know I'm going to like.
Brother, right back at you. Again, Shrinking, new episodes every single Wednesday on Apple TV. Season 3 premiere last night. Catch up on seasons 1 and 2 if you already haven't. It's an awesome show. Brett Goldstein, Kobe Smulders, Jeff Daniels, and Michael J. Fox this season as well. You and Krista Miller and Harrison Ford. And it's just so great, man.
Thank you.
I wish I could name every single person. I take zero credit for it.
I'm merely along for the ride.
But you're awesome in it.
And I'm
just
proud of it.
It is a show that is just dynamite. You will not be disappointed. Thanks for coming on, sir.
Thank you.
Ted McGinley,
thank you for
everybody,
having me.
Back here on the
I'll
Rich Eisen Show.
See you tomorrow. Season 4.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Hyundai. Hyundai Hope on Wheels, everybody. As you know, I love talking about pediatric cancer research and awareness. I'm getting ready for my run soon enough, making plans, cultivating capers. Hyundai Hope on Wheels is all about what I just mentioned. For 27 years, it's been going on. Every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Over 850 dealers nationwide together, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. At Hyundai, Hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Daniel Jeremiah is going to be first up tomorrow from the Senior Bowl.
DJ.
The weather looks like it's turned there. Remember, we had Tom arriving in Alabama on Monday. Looked freezing. But the weather seems to have been really good there for the Senior Bowl players to get out there. So yeah,
55 today.
Daniel Jeremiah will be joining us tomorrow from there.
Love it.
And, you know, that's our first guest on tomorrow's program. I gave you my... My power rankings, there's my notes, of the top Super Bowl 60 storylines. Drake Maiopalooza is already off to a roaring start because all Mike Vrabel's asked about, in addition to everything else, is his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm curious.
There's the latest Q&A on that. Level
not
of concern.
Much. I try not to have a whole lot of concern. I just want to try to prepare the football team and make sure that everybody's ready and that we all have a plan and, you know, not to surprise anybody and make sure that our guys are focusing on the first and second down plan. I know that's, you know, we've tried to map out the week here or week and a half and not look at the end of it, but focus on what we can do today. You know, try to learn our opponent and be ready for first and second down.
Okay. Like his predecessor,
okay.
Once removed, not going to talk about injuries.
Not saying much, nope.
But he doesn't say he's going to be fine. Like, he hasn't been like, this is no, whatever. He's always like, he's, you know.
Got to keep a little mystery.
He wants to reassure, don't you?
If Drake May doesn't play in this game, it's effed and they ain't preparing for
Cooper is just out of his skull.
About him maybe not playing?
No, who's the third stringer there? He was talking to me about this the other day.
It's Josh Dobbs.
It's Josh Dobbs, the backup. But there's like a third stringer there.
Let's see.
Look it up, because whoever that is, Cooper mentioned his name and say he'd rather him play than Josh Dobbs if Drake May can't go.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
No, Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, that's what
right.
He said. He wants Tommy. I'm like, let me tell you something. If Tommy Cutlets is playing in Super
story.
Bowl 60.
Then they're up by a lot or down by a lot.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like I wanted to tell him the Tom Moore story about.
Effed.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? The backup quarterback get any reps here behind Peyton Manning? No, because if Peyton doesn't play, we're effed, and we don't practice effed around here.
Yeah,
that was funny with Brock Heward telling the story. He was the backup, said Tom Moore didn't even know he was left-handed for his entire tenure there. I'm like, so you're the effed.
Which is great.
You are that one.
Take at any rate. And buckle up.
Yeah, that's if Drake May's shoulders.
Oh, gosh.
Off, take your heart pills and
pass
buckle
to Matt
up.
Collins looked pretty good.
It sure did.
Yeah.
Chat Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.